Welcome back for this week's episode of Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. We are covering Fire on the Mountain and recapping it on episode 29 from August the 15th of 1992. Doc, man, you looking forward to this, man? We got some new shit going on, bro. And we recapping Fire on the fucking Mountain.
Time for some pay-per-view quality matches.
That's what I'm talking about. What you say,
edited Auburn? Down. It's edited down in digestible formats for my short attention span.
And that crowd was hot.
Yeah. I guess it was,
I'm seeing this.
Yeah, they were hot. You talking about the Fire on the Mountain crowd?
No, this crowd in North Carolina.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you said that, because that leads into the first thing. We're in Avery County High School in Newland, North Carolina. Doc, you got any history on this city town along with the venue? Because you like to do that whenever we're in a new location.
Yeah, I do, actually. Thank you for kicking it over to me in a timely fashion.
I just wanted to say, I usually kick it over to you for this because you're the one with the PhD. You do have a legit PhD, and evidently you believe in your mind that your researching skills are superbly and much better than anyone else's. So go ahead and tell us all about Avery County High School.
Well, they are. And so anyway, you get a county high school. That means we're in a small town because multiple towns.
What?
Go
proceed. I'm just fucking with you.
Newland, Kentucky has a population of 698.
Holy shit.
Just to kind of give you some...
Wait, you just said Newland, Kentucky. We're in Newland, North Carolina.
Excuse me. They all kind of run together. Newland, North Carolina has a population of 698. They're in northwestern North Carolina. Near the border. It's kind of a border town. In 2000, you always like to ask me when these statistics are from. In 2000, the town was 99.01% white.
Damn, that's a lot of white people.
I would imagine that mayonnaise sales are off the charts.
I bet they love their fucking Archie Bunker there.
Yeah. Well, and of the 698 people that reside in the town, 21.2%, or just about 1 in 5, are below the poverty line. So we'd like to thank the hardworking or maybe not working people of Newland, North Carolina, for showing up today and spending their scarce and sparse disposable income.
Doc, how many people did you say 600 what?
698.
And you said what percent is Caucasian?
99.01.
Do the math on that real quick.
Probably seven black folks. So the seven richest white families have a black butler, probably.
Oh, come on, man.
There's probably more blacks, but they're afraid to admit they're black. they're like high yellows. They're like, nah, bro, I'm white.
Harper. I don't know if many people not in the Deep South understand that term that you just said. That's like a New Orleans term when you say.
No, it's a Southern term because I've heard it all my life.
Okay, do you know what red is then?
Yep.
Okay.
Red bone.
Yeah.
Official women of Luke Hawks.
I like me some red bones too. I can't lie, man. Oof. Boy, okay. Like, we're 5 minutes into this shit now, and this is.
I asked a red bone too, but don't tell my mama.
Your mama don't like that?
No.
Stupid ass. Harper likes all women. Okay, so thank you for the statistics on Avery County High School in Newland, North Carolina. Wow, very very interesting. You got me there. I would have culture shock living in a place like that, dude. I mean,
crazy, man.
Coming from where I'm born and raised, dude, that would just be like, where am I? No disrespect to Newland, North Carolina, however. Well, we're in Newland, and I just want to look up something very, very quick about that. Let's see. Oh, it's not on there. I wanted to see what the actual attendance was, because there's a site that I go to. It's called prowrestlinghistory.com/smoky slash SMW, and sometimes it'll have the actual attendance, but it doesn't have it. It's just got a question mark. So I was curious, and I don't recall as I'm going through this now what the attendance looked like. But I wanted to see what it exactly was. If there's only 700 people there, how much the attendance would look like. So,
well,
anyway.
And it's a county high school, so there's probably other small towns that contribute to it, and it's probably more the population. I would assume is considered more of a county thing, but it's just funny to break it out and say it's less than 1,000 people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Cornette said that on one of the Jim Cornette experiences. He was talking about some of the places they went where there was, you know, 1,600 people in the town, and here they are, or I'm sorry, like 2,000 and 3,000 people in the town, and here they are drawing, you know, 1,500 people to an event. I mean, you think about that. Think about that percentage of people who are attending versus the actual population of the town. So interesting stuff there. Let's kick things off, though. So we go into the show, loaded show, Dutch and Bob Cottle. Cottle is very excited. He's happy to recap Fire on the Mountain, which, by the way, we did watch Fire on the Mountain, but got to be honest, following along with the TV, just like we did with the Volunteer Slam, seems like the way to go. So that's why we're doing it like this. Cottle is happy. He's recapping it. Dutch says he's got good and bad news. So spoiler alert here. The good news, I'm assuming you've already watched Fire in the Mountain, everyone that's listening to this. The good news is being that Dirty White Boy is now the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. The bad news is the Fantastics won the tag belts. Dutch says he's got his surprise guest on Down and Dirty. Doc, I'm going to throw it at you first. Man, what'd you think about the opening segment?
New champs.
Yep, all new champs.
New champs at the top of the card. I can't wait to see how it happened.
Yep, I totally agree. Harper, your thoughts?
We got new champs, man. Tag team and their heavyweight champion. So
that's all the belts because we haven't introduced the TV belt yet to the promotion.
Nor have we introduced 50 million other meaningless belts, right, Doc?
That won't happen here, sir.
Right. Well, here's a quick point, too, as we get into this episode and we're talking about, you know, two belts swapping hands. Think about that. You got other feuds going on that don't need belts. You got Garvin and you got Orndorff. You got the Stud Stable and the Rock and Roll. You know, there's no belts.
Killer
in those
Kyle feuds. And Double D.
Right. There's no belts in those feuds, but those feuds are getting over, aren't they?
I would say so.
Yeah, me too. So we go then, after the opening segment, we go then to the closing moments of the primetime Brian Lee and Dirty White Boy match for the Smoky Mountain Wrestling heavyweight title. And before I tell you what happens at the match, Doc and Harper, I wanted to ask y'all a couple questions. Harper, did you notice the crowd at Fire on the Mountain, how packed it was and how lit
it
was in there?
That was like a legit, you know, big-time crowd.
Yeah.
Because that's a big arena. I don't know. It seems like a legit arena.
Yeah.
You know, it's not some little bullshit fucking high school gym.
Big time event. I agree. Had big time feel. What about you, Doc?
That's like a civic center or a coliseum. Somebody's Division II basketball team plays in that building. Probably.
And it's in, for the record, it was at Johnson City, Tennessee, at the Freedom Hall, and it drew, according to the records I'm looking at, 1,500, and I'm sure that's pretty damn accurate, but it drew 1,500 people at that event. And it was you're going to see as we get into this episode, it was alive and on and popping up in there, so to say, as they say down south. It was lit, and we lit in more than a couple of ways, right, Harper? It was lit as in exciting, and the actual ring was fucking lit. So it was beautiful. So we go to the match. Again, it's the closing moments of primetime Brian Lee and the Dirty White Boy for the Smoky Mountain Wrestling heavyweight title. We get the last few minutes of it. Primetime Brian Lee hits the cancellation on the Dirty White Boy, but Ron Wright, our fucking wonderful Ron Wright, has the referee distracted as primetime Brian Lee has Dirty White Boy pinned. I want to emphasize something with this Ron Wright angle right here. He's got the referee distracted. In a second, he's going to tell you why he had him distracted. Some crazy-looking guy comes in and lays out primetime Brian Lee with a loaded clothesline, meaning that there was something loaded in the crease of his elbow that hits primetime Brian Lee. Dirty White Boy gets the pin. He is the new Smoky Mountain Wrestling heavyweight champion. Les Thatcher and Phil Rainey on commentary say that they've never seen this guy before that came in and clocked primetime Brian Lee. They have no clue who he is. Side note to the match, Beulah Bush is at ringside yelling at the ref trying to tell him what happened. Harper, I'm going to throw it at you first, and then we'll get Doc's commentary.
Why do you keep calling him Anthony?
That's his
you
name.
Ever Yeah, but they never call him that during the regular stuff.
I think, and Doc, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was pretty well known that his name was Tony Anthony, because they've said it actually on an episode prior to this. So I just think that it was just so well known, and everybody knew him as a dirty white boy, but they knew his name was Tony Anthony, so that's why occasionally they do say that.
Yeah, and the thing is, when he hits him with the chain, you figure, okay, it's over with. The bastard, you know, he cheated, and he's going to win. It's like, no, he kicks out. And you say, okay, well, that's it. He's going to keep the title.
Right.
And then this fucking mystery weirdo guy comes in.
I do agree. They didn't do some bullshit finish. They threw that in there, like when Dirty White Boy hits him.
Yeah.
To like go, oh shit, he's gonna beat him.
Right.
But no,
it's a fuck finish.
Right. But no, it still ends up being a fuck finish, but it's not the fuck finish that you saw.
Right. Uh huh.
Originally, I did catch that. Doc, what were your thoughts?
A couple of things. Did you?
That's
not funny.
Okay. Why do you always pause when I throw it at you for like 20 seconds?
Did you notice the couple of guys in the front row, kind of to the left, that were jumping up and down cheering when Dirty White Boy won?
Yeah.
I thought that was good. Also, man, did you see – that was some good, like, sleight of hand where the mystery man comes towards the camera and rolls out of the ring, and Ron Wright has the ref turned just the right way. The mystery man's like 2 feet from the ref, but behind him, so the ref can't see him. I thought that was some nice sleight of hand. And I just am really glad that Ron Wright can get some surgeries and get up out of that chair and walk.
Yeah,
this is what he's been wanting. This is what he's been wanting for months. And so to get himself some gentleman wrestlers that can win the gold and help him get his surgeries. And so I hope the mystery man didn't cost too much, because now all that money's going towards the surgeries.
That's a good point, because this is episode 29, and we were first introduced to Ron Wright on episode 1. I believe he made his debut on 1, if not 2. So here we are.
He gave Ivan Koloff something way back in the first time we saw him, I think.
Right. So here we are 28 weeks later. Think about that. 28 weeks. Over 6 months later, here we are. And he's finally – not only did he get his man – you know, around episode 10 or whatever it was, in his wrestler. But now he's finally got gold around his wrestler's waist, as he always said, 6 months later.
He had him out there training in the back alleys, beating up dogs. And
no, that's not what he said. He said the man, talking about Dirty White Boy, bit the dog and gave the dog the rabies, not the other way around. So, yes, you're right about that.
So, Ron Wright has paid off everything he said he would do. He's manager of the year for 1992.
I totally agree, as we are, you know, again, it's August 15th of 1992. Now, let's go to the promos that followed after this segment where we saw the close of the match, and it's Ron Wright, it's Primetime Brian Lee first, and it's followed by Ron Wright and the Dirty White Boy.
Fans, I'm here in the dressing room with the former Smoky Mountain Wrestling Champion, Primetime Brian Lee. Brian, I don't know who this man was that came to the ring and attacked you. Do you know anything about him?
Man, I don't know if you can call him man. What I had was I had Dirty White Boy up in the cancellation, and no man gets up from the cancellation. And I look out of the corner of my eye, what I see, a big freak running at me, and he hits me with an elbow. But I'll tell you what, I know that was no ordinary elbow. I've been hit by 100, and Primetime Brian Lee gets up. There was something in that arm. And I can tell you what, if you Dirty White Boy and you Ron Wright are behind this, there will be hell to pay.
All right, fans, with me right now, the Dirty White Boy, Mr. Ron Wright. First of all, I got to say, who or what was it, and where did he come from?
Let me tell you, I don't know who it was or what happened. Evidently, some spectator out there jumped up in the ring, didn't like what Primetime was doing, and took a punch at him or something. I knew nothing about it till I seen the video, and everybody was all concerned was what was going on. I was having a heart attack out there, and I forgot and left my heart monitor back in the dressing room. I'm supposed to carry this thing 24 hours a day, and I was so nervous and tore up over the title match, I forgot it. What I was trying to do was tell the referee I was having a major heart attack and for him to call the ambulance and get an ambulance down there to get me out of there. That was all that was going on, and that was all that I knew, Mr. Caudle.
All right, now, you had to see what happened. Only thing that I know that happened was I was on top of Brian Lee for the three count, which makes me the new Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion, and I'm going to be a fighting champion no matter what.
Here's Commissioner, Smoky Mountain Commissioner Bob Armstrong. Commissioner,
yes, sir. I just want you two guys to know, you Mr. Ron Wright and Dirty White Boy, if I find out that you had anything to do with that so-called mystery man who hit the ring and caused Brian Lee to lose that title and you to win it, that I'll strip you the minute I find it out, and you'll have to put that operation on hold a little while longer. All right, fans.
I don't know who it was or what it was. Like I said before, I was on top of the man for the three count, which makes me the new heavyweight champion.
You've heard it from the Dirty White Boy, also from Commissioner Bob Armstrong, and we'll be back right after this timeout.
Doc, I'll throw it at you first. I love this.
It would be just like that damn commissioner to try to take money away from Ron now that he's just now getting so close to having the surgeries lined up.
That's all you got from that?
Do we know who the mystery man is? Who is that guy?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't want to say anything more about it other than I like the fact that, okay, we've had this feud going on, and semi-spoiler alert, we're not going to find out it's weeks before this thing takes a while to play out, the new mystery man thing. So we've got some convoluted stuff happening here in a good way. We got the mystery man who came out, helped the Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright, but who is he, what's he doing, who paid him to do it, all that good stuff. So I'll leave it at that. I mean, were you looking for me to give an actual answer to that, Doc? I'm confused.
Who's the guy that jumped in the ring?
Just some spectator. You heard Ron Wright. Man, I saw this. All I know is I saw some spectator interfered, and I didn't know who he was, and I was just having a heart attack trying to distract the referee. Now, Ron Wright don't know who he is. He was just trying to distract. He was trying to get the referee's attention because of his heart attack. What you got, okay, Harper?
I feel bad for him, man, because he had another goddamn heart attack. Mm. You know?
Did you hear him say he left his heart monitor?
Yeah.
I thought it was nitroglycerin pills that he had in his body.
Yeah. Now he's got a serious condition, and it requires multiple methods for making sure he's going to be okay.
He changes that shit up all the time, and it's awesome. It's so great. Oh, man. Oh, fucking good old Ron Wright. Did you have any thoughts about the primetime Brian Lee segment of it, though, Doc?
Well, I mean, he's pissed, and he just lost the belt, and thought he could have been a little bit hotter about it, but it is prime time, so it was probably best we could get out of him.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I thought like he would have been more, pissed off, but it seems he's going to focus himself more on this mystery guy more than, what's his name? A Dirty White Boy.
Yeah. Well, let's go. No, go ahead, Harper.
Because he's got to get his fucking revenge because he fucked him over.
Yeah, and if you remember, they were talking about doing that Texas Tornado match or Texas Death Match or whatever it's called. So there's actually another segment that airs right after this one. It's Ron Wright and a Dirty White Boy. I'll play it at the end of the episode, but it's Bob Caudle. He's promoting the August 21st, 1992 card in Knoxville. And there's a few big matches happening here, and one of them is Ron Wright. One of them is Dirty White Boy, I'm sorry, versus Primetime Brian Lee in the Texas Tornado Death Match. Ron Wright says he needs to make sure they have enough ambulances and stretchers for Primetime Brian Lee at the event. And Fuller and Golden also come in, and they respond to the rock and roll. Again, I'll play this at the end, but I thought it was a decent promo. We just got so many to get to here, I figured I'd save this one. Doc, what were your thoughts on this one?
I think Fuller always looks like he's pissed off because he had to put down his drink to go cut promos. And so he's mad about it, and he just starts off his promo pissed off that he had to put down his drink. And once again, Golden had the shit-eating grin in full effect, and it's awesome.
Those two complement each other perfectly.
Yeah. Boy, they've been tag team partners for a long time, and they know what they're doing, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean, though, about how they compliment each other? Like Fuller comes in and he sets the story up perfectly every time. Like, he starts telling the story in his promo, and then, like, he did with the ponies and how he beat the ponies. And then Golden is there with the shit-eating grin, and then Golden adds to it. They just, like, they tell a story together perfectly in their promos. That's what I like about them. Let's go to the next one. We got a Tim Horner promo. I'm definitely going to play this one for y'all. Because he is Harper's guy. He is Harper's friend. Now, I do want to say this about Horner, because they don't cover this in the episode, but I feel like we need to mention it. Tim Horner, obviously, is still in Smoky Mountain Wrestling because he's cutting his promo. Buddy Landell did say, "I quit" at Fire on the Mountain, and that is why Horner is here cutting a promo. So I don't want to break anyone's heart, but for the time being, Buddy Landell is out of Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
That's bullshit.
That's bullshit, too. Moon River. We'll tell the story about that one day if you haven't already heard it. Here we go. This is Tim Horner cutting a promo. Doc, I know you rolled your eyes with what he said here.
All right, fans, with me right now, here's White Lightning Tim Horner. Tim, the new champion, says he'll take on anybody. That's got to include Tim Horner. What about it, Tim?
Well, that's right. You know, I heard him out of here saying that he was going to be a fighting champion. Yep. That's what he said, if I'm not mistaken. Well, I just wanted to come out here, Mr. Collin, and throw my hat in the ring, so to speak. I'd like a shot at that Smoky Mountain heavyweight title. You know, since I've been here, hadn't got the opportunity to wrestle the champion. But now I'm saying to you, Dirty White Boy, I'd like a shot at you. Because I'm from this part of the country, Mr. Collin, as you know. And I think I could be a champion that these people could be proud of, because I am one of them, and I work hard just like they do. So, Dirty White Boy, all I'm asking is a shot. I'm not saying I can beat you, but all I want is a title shot.
All right, fans, there he is, White Lightning Tim Horner. He thinks he deserves it. I also think he deserves it, so I hope he gets that shot.
Doc?
Yeah, for real, huh?
Harper, your thoughts?
It's why.
Like, the thing about a babyface promo that Harper, you and I were taught from day one in wrestling school, is you gotta have fire and emotion.
Yeah.
You gotta.
He has neither.
Yeah. You gotta have something that you don't
emotion.
Have to be. Right. You don't have to be the most articulate person, but. And you don't even have to tell the greatest of stories. For fuck's sake, look at the Ultimate Warrior and the fucking shit he used to do that made no sense at all, but he still got over with those promos. But at the same time, you gotta show emotion. Just like he's like, yeah, you know, I've been here and ain't had my shot yet, Bob, at the Smoky Mountain title, and I wanna try to get my shot. And like, if I'm a fan, why do I want to see you fight Dirty White Boy, who cuts vicious promos with emotion?
If you don't care, why should I?
Yeah. So, Tim, you know, if you're listening, man, I actually have learned to – not learn, but I like your work in the ring. I just – God, I needed some emotion. I needed some fire. I needed some believability to want to invest in this babyface. It just wasn't there. And the thing was, you know, we said at the end of it, remember when he came out and he cold cocked Buddy Landell, when Buddy Landell said he can't even go to bed with his wife, and he came out and showed fire and emotion by whipping up
yeah.
Buddy Landell? Like, you know, so we know it's there. It's just like this. I was like, I'm like you, Doc. I just was like.
So you can do it. Why aren't you doing it?
Right. So anyway, that was my thoughts, and we'll move on to the next segment. We got Bob Cottle throws us to the recap of the Heavenly Bodies and the Fantastics in the cage. Now, Harper, before I recap it, a couple weeks back we were doing the show and you said you hadn't seen the cage yet and you wanted to know yeah. what it looked like. So when you first – we said at the time, wait till you see it. When you first saw the cage, what did you think?
That shit looked dangerous. I wouldn't want to touch it.
I got to give Cornette some – props for originality here. If anybody out there is listening,
it was wood.
Right. I have never. Now, I've worked in a few cages in the independent wrestling days in the late 90s, early 2000s. It was always a chain link cage. Always. Always a chain link cage. I've seen the blue cage that the WWF used back in the day, and even their cage now, which is a steel cage, but it's lowered down, so it's not quite the same, the Hell in a Cell type thing. But, bruh, to see a fucking cage, like, made with wooden frame and barbed wire was a first for me. So, I gotta give Cornette originality there. Doc, do you want to say anything about the cage before I recap the match?
I don't know that I've ever seen one like that either.
Chicken coop.
Right, it looked like a chicken coop. But that's what made it awesome, though, too.
Yeah.
Like, because, I mean, think about it, man. You're sitting there looking at that going, fuck, I ain't never seen nothing like that. That's crazy. That's some crazy shit. So, okay, it's a brawl. We get to the match. It's a brawl. It's what you would expect. I mean, it's four guys in a fucking cage with barbed wire. A couple quick things. At one point, Jackie or Bobby pull Stan Lane's headgear off. He's got his water polo hat on, which I chuckled because I think it was Les Thatcher who said during the match, they'll be able to open him up without that headgear on now.
Yeah.
I love that. Did y'all catch that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's true. At that point, Stan's head was, the gear was protecting his head from being busted open. So that was kind of cool. Cornette is at ringside. He finally gets involved by throwing powder in Jackie's eyes. But Bullet Bob sees the powder and throws Cornette out of the arena. Another note here, Les Thatcher says that Bullet Bob could smell the talc. Remember that Cornette is gone at this point. So he's out the arena. The crowd erupts when Cornette gets the boot. I mean, they go apeshit. They go nuts. It was just beautiful. Cornette, though, works his way back into the building and back into the arena because that's what heels did back then, right? Harper, you're a heel manager. You get thrown out. What's the odds that you're going to wiggle your fucking way back in to help your man out?
Damn right. You can't keep me away.
Fuck that, right? Unless you're in handcuffs in a jail cell, you're coming back out.
We said Ron Wright was manager of the year for 92. Hardbody Harper's been manager of the year ever since.
That's right, damn it.
That's right. So, again, Cornette wiggles his ass back out. He throws the racket over the top, his tennis racket, over the top of the cage to Dr. Tom. Dr. Tom goes to hit Jackie, but Bullet Bob stops him from behind. As Dr. Tom then turns around to look at Bullet Bob and say, what the hell are you doing, and maybe hit him, Jackie schoolboys Dr. Tom. Bullet Bob hits a fast count, and we have new Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Team Champions as the crowd erupts in cheers. They go nuts. Doc and Harper, go ahead and comment. Harper, you go first, man. What were you thinking when this thing finally went down?
I was thinking, fuck, they finally got the goddamn titles. And this shit lasted for so long and kept going and going, and they got the titles from them. It was a struggle. They kept fighting and fighting and fighting, and they finally got it. There was a climax.
A payoff.
Yes, there was a payoff to this struggle.
And the payoff was they had to pay the price in there.
Yes. All four of them were fucking busted open. It all led to something.
Wrestling the way it used to be and the way we like it.
That's so, it. I mean, shit. The only note I had on top of it was just, powder is such a great visual from far away. It's like the mist.
Yeah, it works, especially whether it's a high school gymnasium or a huge arena, it works because you can see it.
That's right.
Yeah, I agree. And then, I mean, even as far as that, man, Cornette launching the racket over the cage, that even works because it's a visual of this tennis racket flying.
You gotta launch it up over there. It's in the air.
Yeah, it's not something that's easily missed, and I like that. And I agree with Harper, man. We got the payoff to it. The fucking Heavenly Bodies, they've been after these belts since even before the Heavenly Bodies won it the first time. They've been after it. They've been after it for you know.
A year.
We're 6 months into this thing now. That's how long they've been after it. So a 6-month chase for a title, you know, how's your territory, Triple H? When does that happen anymore? Anyway, loved it. Well, we then go to the promos now. So we got the Heavenly Bodies cutting a promo on the Fantastics. It's the Heavenly Bodies first on this promo. So let's go to that, and then we'll react.
Jim Cornette is beside himself.
Threw the tennis racket in the ring last to help out his wrestlers, and they lost the match.
Fans, we're here in the dressing room with the former Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions, the Heavenly Bodies, and Jim Cornette.
Let me just tell you one thing. You want to talk about former champions? Let's talk about being Shanghai. Let's talk about being in Bob Armstrong's back pocket. I think he was going to make sure that we lost the titles regardless of what it took. I'm going to tell you, we're not standing for it. It's a barbed wire cage match where anything goes, and then you want to take something away from me, Armstrong? It's not going to happen.
Let me tell you something right now, Armstrong. You sit back. You let the Fantastics do everything they could do. The one time that Tom Pritchard gets something in his hand, you got to stick your nose in. You meant from the start for us to lose the belts. That's obvious. It's real clear. We understood that from the start. We thought we could do something about it, but you shanghaied us. So right now I'm saying, if you don't sign a rematch within 24 hours, if you don't sign another shot for the Heavenly Bodies to take on the Fantastics within one day, then Bob Armstrong, I promise you, this is America. You can sue anybody for anything, and I'll have so many lawyers descending on you, picking the meat off your bones, you old fossil. They'll sue you till you're so broke that you won't be able to pay attention. The Smoky Mountain Wrestling Corporation will be broke, flat busted, and one way or another, we will have the tag team titles back again. I want a rematch. I want it signed, and I want it within 24 hours.
It's not right.
Fans, I'm here in the dressing room with the new Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions, Bobby and Jackie Fulton, the Fantastic.
You know, this has been a long time coming. A number of months that we've been after these Smoky Mountain Tag Team titles. Bobby, you know, that was one of the toughest match I've ever been in. One time that barbed wire got a hold of me, I didn't know if I was ever going to get out of it. I want to thank each and every one of those fans for sticking by us, staying behind us, and with their help and their support, we're the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions. Bobby, the Heavenly Bodies finally got what we're coming to. Well, brother, let me tell you something. They said blood is thicker than water, and you can see on our faces and by the holes in my arms just exactly what that barbed wire would do to a man. Like Jackie said, it's been a long, hard road. Heavenly Bodies, Cornette, you're claiming now that the cards have been stacked against you. You're claiming that because of Bob Armstrong, we won the match. Well, let me tell you something right now. It just proved the fact that when Cornette was outside the barbed wire and he couldn't interfere bodily like he had before, your team could be beat on any given night. Now, Cornette, just like my brother said, it's been a long, hard road. He almost ended his career when that knee injury came to him at the hands of the Heavenly Bodies and that no-good, nasty, low-life, egg-sucking dog, Cornette. Well, let me tell you something. We had to wait on a chance to get these belts. We had to wait just to see if Jackie would ever come back. Because you see, we're brothers, Cornette. We're family. I know that guys like you, lowlifes like you, don't know nothing about sticking together. Well, that's exactly what we did. We pondered, we thought, and we even lost some tears over the facts of the matters, knowing that the Heavenly Bodies and Cornette would hold those tag team titles a long, long time. Well, we waited. And the key word here is waited. We waited on Jackie's knee to come back 100%. We got the opportunity to get in that barbed wire match. Like Jackie said, I've been in wrestling 15 years, watched it all my life, and I've never seen anything so brutal, so bloody in my life. And I've never felt the pain when I felt that barbed wire reach out and grab my face. You can see the tape right now and the blood still dripping down, and it's been some 30 minutes since that match, and we do need medical attention. But Cornette, Heavenly Bodies, we've got a surprise for you. You want these belts right here? Well, we love them. It's like Jackie said, winning the Super Bowl. We're going to let you guys sit back and wait. Because you see, we don't have to defend these belts for 30 days, and it's going to take that long for these holes to heal in our head and in our back. It's going to take that long. It might take longer. And you know what, Jackie? When we come back within that 30 days to defend these belts, because we're going to be fighting champions, it could be some other team altogether. So, Cornette, I want you and your Heavenly Bodies, who are beat up and battered, to realize one thing. That the Fantastics, we're going to let you sit and wait a little bit. Cornette, the key word here is you're going to wait for a title shot with the Fantastics.
Doc, you want to go first?
Wow. So here's a contrast in styles. Lots going on here. To me, I hope Primetime Brian Lee watched the tape of Dr. Tom, because that's how you're supposed to act when you lose the belt. Dr. Tom is absolutely insanely awesome here. Just pissed off beyond belief because they got robbed. The other thing I was thinking on the front end, because I figured we'll talk about the Heavenly Bodies first and then go over to the Fultons, is I hope the blood on Stan Lane's head doesn't loosen the glue on that beaver pelt.
That was a good one, Doc. Harper, we'll talk about the Heavenly Bodies first. Go ahead, Harper. What you got?
It was emotion, and it has you thinking, God damn, I can't wait for a fucking rematch.
Mm-hmm. Because, I thought so, too.
Yeah.
I get a lot of shit sometimes on the show from we take up for Cornette a lot for obvious reasons. I mean,
well, this was the first time where like the Heavenly Bodies weren't the Heavenly Bodies, playing with their hair, smiling, joking right. around. They're pissed.
Right.
They took their fucking belts.
Right. Dr. Tom
want
was
shit back. Yeah. You're right. They ain't playing games now.
Right. It's the laughing and the shit eating grin. Yeah, yeah, fuck that. We're here for war. You didn't see Stan Lane, who was usually sitting there with a smug look on his face with his beaver pelt. At fake Stan Lane, man, love the beaver pelt, but man, no, I don't. So, and then Cornette pulls out the line about suing. You know, he's
called him a fossil,
and they're gonna pick fossil. The meat off his bones, you old fossil. I love that. And Dr. Tom was on it, man, with that, it's not right, it's not right, he's throwing a fit. I want to transition now, too, and I'll give my thoughts on the Fultons. Did you notice, Doc, that although the Heavenly Bodies look beat up and battered, didn't the guys who won look more beaten and battered to you?
Dude, yeah.
Did you notice this?
Yeah, he admitted it. He goes, we need medical attention. You sure as hell do.
I just want to, just point that out because – it's
well, that's the same way they did at the Volunteer Slam where Primetime Brian Lee won the belt, but he looked like he had been shot in the head.
Right. He looked like he had been shot in the head with a fucking shotgun. And it's just another way you kind of give the baby face some sympathy. You know, hey, man, that motherfucker, those two look like they've been in a war. Look at that. And I just think that that's, you know, one of the things missing from current wrestling. Now, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I was going to lead into the promo with those two. I thought it went on too long.
I did, too. That was what I was getting ready to say.
Yeah, I thought the promo went on too long. I thought it was good. I didn't think anything bad of it. I liked some of it when, like, Bobby's basically trolling Cornette, saying that they're going to make him wait for a shot at the belt. I thought that was cool. I just thought it went on for a little long. At the same time, you know, it's the end of the feud. They had a lot to say, but I just
I don't think it
along.
Is the end. That's what I was going to say. I don't think this is the end of the feud.
I was trying to not spoil things, but yeah, for right now, let me say that. For right now.
I mean, think about it, though, and I'm not going to compare. I'm not trying to compare. I'm just trying to use a similar analogy. I mean, just because the Von Erichs or Freebirds beat each other and got bloody didn't mean it was over. It's just that's another chapter in the book.
That's true, too. All right, y'all got anything else?
Well, you know, they were already at a fever pitch between these four and Cornette, and they escalated at another step, which I thought was hard to do. I mean, they took it to another level, and they were already operating at a pretty personal and high level and of personal issues and battling for the gold. So, man, I just – hell of a job by everybody involved. Shit.
Yeah. I would agree. Harper, you got anything else before we move to the next segment?
No.
And again, well, just to recap, great feud, great finish to it, the payoff, the Heavenly Bodies finally lose, and now we'll see what happens from here with these two. We'll see if they are definitely going to have to wait to get their rematch. All that said, next segment is Down and Dirty with Dutch, with Cornette and Killer Kyle. Let's hit the play button and listen to this. From here on.
Okay, everybody, all you little muskets out there, welcome to Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Dutch Mantel, and you're not. My special guest that I talked about at the top of the program is none other than Killer Kyle, and he is joined today by the manager of the Heavenly Bodies, the renowned manager of the year four times. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give a big North Carolina hand right now to Mr. Jim Cornette. Jim, it is a surprise seeing you out here with Killer Kyle, but I'm sure you have something very important on your mind.
You know, Dutch, everybody always wondered, why doesn't Killer Kyle speak? Why doesn't Killer Kyle say anything? I'm sure you can identify with this just like I can. Yep. There ain't nobody around here worth having a conversation with. You can't get sense out of a single person in this area.
Nothing.
So what I did was I went and I sat down and I had a little heart-to-heart talk with Killer Kyle, and I found out we got a lot of things in common. We got the same interests, we got the same opinions, and we got a few of the same goals. So what I did was I told Mr. Kyle I'd be happy to come out here and interpret his feelings to these redneck hillbillies so maybe they'd be able to understand what the man's thinking.
Very good. Now, you actually had a conversation with Killer Kyle.
That's exactly right. Now, you know, he's got this boxing match coming up. Dixie Dynamite. Oh. I think the paint or the bleach or whatever you use in that sock you wear over your head has gone to your brain. Because you've got a boxing match coming up with my man, the Killer. And you say you're going to be able to duck and dodge and stab and all that stuff. I got news for you. This man's got a fist the size of a canned ham, brother. He's got a punch like a jackhammer. When he hits you, if you don't go down, you're going to do some awful funny things standing up, and he will knock you colder than a banker's heart. But with a glove, you put some padding, you put some leather around that, and like be like getting hit with a wet saddle. But I got a visual illustration. And Dutch, I want you to back up, and I'm going to back up. I don't want nobody hurt, except maybe him. Come over here. This is Mike Sampson. Give him a big round of applause. Okay, that's great. Yeah. Hold that board up here, boy. Hold that microphone over there. See that? That's good, good, good Kentucky board right there. Now, Kyle, I want you to... Here, hold it up here. You're liable to get knocked in the face with it. Hold it on the ends, boy. I want you to go ahead and just give him one of your little bitty punches and try not to knock the man straight out of the ring. Go ahead.
Jimmy, I won't get hurt, will I?
Go ahead. No, you won't get hurt. Just get it right in the right place. Just a little one, just a tap.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, he needs concentration, so hold it down. Whoa!
You see that? Let me tell you something, Dixie Dynamite, brother. You get in the ring with this man, and he will break you in half, just like yesterday's garbage, just like the garbage that you are, brother. Killer Kyle.
Jimmy, let me ask you one question.
What?
Does this mean that you will be Killer Kyle's manager from now on out?
I think it would be safe to say that Killer Kyle and I are going to be seeing a lot of each other from this point on.
Okay, fans, you heard it right here first on Down and Dirty with Dutch. Jimmy, thank you. Killer Kyle, thank you. Mike Sampson, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. The big main event coming up shortly. Dirty White Boy in his first title defense against Dixie Dynamite. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Doc, I had said a few weeks back that there was something going on with Killer Kyle. He might end up, because I think it was Bob Cottle kind of said, hey, you know, who's directing this man? Or he had teased something about maybe somebody in his back pocket. This was what I was talking about. I don't know, do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, so we finally get a pay. It was subtle, but we finally get the payoff of that, I should say. So what were your thoughts on the promo, Doc?
Cornette's working his ass off.
Yep.
I mean, you just listen to that, and he's throwing out lines and bullshitting and introduces the guy and doesn't give him time to boo or clap. The priceless gem and all that is Dutch going, Jimmy, I won't get hurt, will I? When Killer Kyle throws the punch.
Yeah.
Just, you know, Kyle's going to need a manager at some point because he's not going to talk, and he needs somebody to talk shit in a shit-talking promotion. And Ron Wright's busy getting surgeries and with the gold, so it might as well be Cornette. So I'm good with that. And I have a hard time buying a boxing match between these two just because of the size difference, but whatever.
Yeah. I don't even know if, you know, I don't know if Killer Kyle is a talker. I don't know if he can talk. We've never seen him even try. So
he's a mute?
No, what I'm saying is I don't know.
He's like snake eyes.
Well, no. What I'm saying is I don't know if it legitimately, like, if we were starting a promotion and we needed somebody who could talk on a mic, if we'd look at Killer Kyle and go, yeah, this guy's a good promo. Maybe he's a good promo and they're just not – they just wanted him to play that role.
Did you just say we're getting a ring?
Yeah.
No, nobody said nothing about a ring. Harper, what did you think about the promo?
This tells me business with Killer Kyle is about to pick up.
Yeah, the signs are there, right?
Yeah, and – I think you're really going to see him rise up in their roster. So I think he's going to beat the shit out of Dixie Dynamite, and he's going to move on from him quickly to you know, to a bigger talent that's on their roster.
You think about it too. You want to go back, Doc, and think about where that where Killer Kyle was again on episode one, losing to Robert Gibson.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now he's becoming a, I guess you can call him a mainstay, a key part of the roster. Just it's just an interesting concept of it.
We've been doing this for a while now. People change. People grow.
I do agree with that. Doc, you get anything else before we move on to the Paul Orndorff promo that's coming up?
Let's hit it.
So we got Paul Orndorff in it. This is a strange promo, but I want to get everyone's thoughts and see what you all think about it too.
All right, fans, one of the wrestlers has had, I think, a lot of trouble with Smoky Mountain Commissioner Bob Armstrong is Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, particularly with the pile driver, Mr. Wonderful.
Let's get one thing straight. I don't need all those 8-to-5ers out there cheering for me, because I got enough money and I got enough ability that I don't need nobody's help. I don't need the encouragement of the people. I don't need those little kids. You just look. Shut it up. Shut it up. And another thing. You just look at everybody I beat with my pile driver. Look at Ronnie Garvin. And Ronnie Garvin, you're going to go down one way or the other. Nobody wants Mr. Wonderful to use his pile driver. That no good Bob Armstrong, he's trying to bet.
Here he is, Commissioner Bob Armstrong.
I just want to ask you one thing, Paul Orndorff. Come in here where you can hear me. Now, I know earlier in the year you had a problem with Primetime Brian Lee, and I want to know if you had anything to do with that goofy-looking big guy that hit the ring during his championship match.
What about that, Mr. Wonderful?
What big? You mean that guy with the little hair? That little hair sticking out?
That's the one.
The guy that got his hair standing up?
Yeah.
I ain't never seen him in my life.
Well, let me tell you this. If I can prove you did have something to do with it, the price may be higher than you want to pay, mister. All right, fans.
Hey, you know something? I have got enough money that I could get out of anything. I can't believe that.
Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, man.
All right, Doc, go ahead and give me your thoughts.
Did you get the same reaction I did when he said the 8-to-5ers? Because I just was like, hey, Paul, Menace and I are already knee-deep in our day by 8 o'clock, pal.
Yeah, I mean, I start work at 6 o'clock every day, so, you know.
I'm shortly just right after you because, you know, we like to get in and get our work done because we're hard-working sons of bitches.
We get in and get our shit in.
Get your spots in early and get on out before the card's over, you know.
Yeah, buddy, boy.
By the time the main event's in the ring, I'm at home.
They got some fucking spot monkeys where we work. God damn. Spot fucking monkeys.
So the other thing is Bob Armstrong's just roaming around the high school gym playing CSI trying to find out who fucking did this shit. If he finds
CSI, Johnson City.
CSI. Never mind. I don't want to make the poor people in this. They got enough problems already because they live where they live. I don't want to pile on.
Stop it. I'm surprised I don't get more hate mail from you making fun of the good people.
Well, they probably don't know how to type. So how would they get it to you? And then, you know, they're like, they get mad. They're like, son of a bitch, that fucking doc, he thinks he's better than us. And they sit down and write, and then they're like, but everything he said's true, and he is better than us. And
there's actually one guy, the guy who wrote us the 5-star review, the Bob on iTunes. The Bob was telling me he sent me an email, and he was saying that he likes to hear us like try to make sense of Mountain the region, because like it's a shoot, bro. We don't, that culture is fucking alien to us. Like,
and trust us. We're laughing at you, not with you.
That bullshit. Yeah. Bullshit.
No, at you. fucking hillbilly, white trash fuckers.
Jesus Christ, Hopper.
I don't even know what the fuck is a Tar Heel. Explain that shit to me. What the fuck is a Tar Heel? The fuck does that mean?
A Tar Heel.
Yeah.
It's the North Carolina Tar Heels. That's their mascot. Well, what
is it? Is it where they're picking tobacco, and so they're out there picking tobacco, and they get the tar from it on their heels?
Or is it a bad guy wrestler full of tar?
I mean, come on, Harper, for all that, for all that, what the fuck's a Tulane Green Wave? The water's dirty on the Gulf of Mexico?
It's a wave. That's green.
Okay. Well,
there it is.
Okay. All right.
What's a tar heel?
Oh, God. Back to the promo. I gotta say, this is confusing to me because Orndorff is talking about the pile driver, but the match is a pile driver versus pile driver match. So he's yelling about not being able to use it, but it's legal in the match. So that part kind of confused me. But anyway, after that, I did like how Bullet Bob came out and Bullet Bob's asking him, "You know who that strange guy is?" And Orndorff goes, "The guy with the little funny little curl on his head, big guy." Never seen him before. I love that part. That was great. That was funny. I laughed my ass off. So, yeah. But anyway, Doc, you got any other thoughts on the promo?
No.
Harper, you?
No. It was just a really great heel promo because he fucking buried the fucking fans and said, "I don't fucking need y'all for shit."
Right, right. I liked it.
He said, yeah.
Go ahead, Doc.
No, I was Orndorff knows how to talk.
Yep. That's the reason he's been where he's been in his wrestling career. We go to the next segment, and it's the Rock and Roll Express in the Stud Stable, the match from Fire on the Mountain. The music hits in the building, and when Ricky and Robert hit the arena, the fans see them, and they fucking lose their goddamn minds. And that's why they are now in the WWE Hall of Fame. Because they are one of, if not the greatest tag team ever. They show the Rock and Roll Express get the early advantage before they pan to a clip of Ricky selling and doing what Ricky does best. Now, Doc, before I get further into the match, I did want to ask you. I shouldn't have said that first statement. Your thoughts on the reaction that the Rock and Roll Express got.
My exact notes were 5 words. That's what over sounds like.
Right.
Again, I say it all the time. Close your eyes. Don't even watch. Don't let your eyes. Your ears will do the job for you there. That's what over sounds like. And my next note was, man, it's on from Jump Street.
Yeah, it really is. Like, hey, the match starts and Harper, I don't know if I, did I cut you off, Harper?
No.
Okay. The match starts and the shit hits the fan like right away, which then turns into Ricky doing his job, which is selling like no one else. Morton eventually makes the hot tag, but it turns into a four-way. I love the finish that I'm about to talk about. So the Rock and Roll hit the double drop kick, but when Gibson goes for the pin, Robert Fuller yanks Gibson out of the ring to break the pin. Then a minute or so later, Gibson has Golden in a sleeper in the middle of the ring, but Fuller comes off the second rope and hits Gibson in the back of the head. While Gibson had Fuller in the sleeper, while Gibson had Golden in the sleeper, to which Golden is starting to go to sleep at that point. When Gibson falls backwards on his back, Golden collapses onto him. Fuller thinks he's outsmarted the ref and turns his back on the ref. Well, when Fuller turns his back on the ref, Morton rolls into the ring and then puts Gibson on top of Golden, because remember, Golden is asleep. The Rock and Roll get the win. But then Golden and Fuller attack the Rock and Roll. This was like, this is just great. It's like not a fuck finish, but just a double fucking, you think you got him, but no, we got him, and we're outsmarting you. Just typical Southern great book and wrestling of a match. The babies get the pin, but the heels keep their heat. They lay waste to the baby faces. Harper, what were your thoughts as you watched the ending?
Dude. That's the loudest I've ever heard a crowd.
Of 1,500 people. Show.
Yeah. And it sounds like there's a hell of a lot of more people in there. Because I Googled this stadium or whatever the fuck you want to call it, mm-hmm. this arena, and it holds, it holds 8,500 people. And then for a basketball game, for some reason, it said like 5,000. And it definitely sounds like they have 5,000 more than 1,500 people in there. by the way, they fucking go off.
They did erupt. I will say that. Doc, what were your thoughts?
Morton got color his first night in. Did you notice that later on in the match, they were 15 minutes in and had a 45-minute time limit on this thing?
Yeah.
And just, that's how you book this shit. That's how you execute this shit. And Fire on the Mountain had two hellacious tag classics with eight incredible tag team wrestlers.
It was incredible. I mean, and
it's amazing. It's amazing when you get guys that know how to work, that can work, and then you really write a really kick-ass storyline for it, book it right the right way, and go out and execute it in front of a big house of people. It's amazing.
Let me point something out to you on this too. That shit wasn't even for a fucking belt.
No.
It's just a feud, and it's at a fever pitch, and they've only been a few weeks into it. Not even there's no belts on the line. It's just the fucking stud stable with two big cowboy fucking shit kicking dudes, and we're about to take down these quote unquote baby faces, and we're about to beat their asses, and rock and roll's like we ain't having it, and the people are going nuts, and it's beautiful, and the finish was great. The finish was great because I will say I'm watching it and I go, oh shit, you know. I mean, it wouldn't have been a bad finish if Fuller would have hit him and they would have kept their heat that way. But it was like, no. We're the baby faces. We're going to outsmart the heel. Imagine that. Nowadays, they make baby faces look stupid. But back then, they actually made them look intelligent. So I love the finish. The finish was gold to me. Anything else before we go to the promos that they cut after the match?
No.
All right, so here are – we got some promos, and it's Golden and Fuller – and they are immediately followed by the Rock and Roll. Now, Golden and Fuller, their promo is like at the arena at Johnson City at the Freedom Hall. They're cutting it backstage, and then it's the Rock and Roll in the stadium today, or where we're at right now in North Carolina, cutting their promo with Bob Cottle. So let me play it for y'all.
On the way back from the ring is Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden.
Hey, you know something? I know that the Rock and Rollers over there now is going to go around bragging, thinking that they've won themselves a match. You ain't won nothing, boys. Ask them people out there who won the battle. Who was left laying out there in the middle of the ring in blood? You like to bleed, don't you, Ricky, boy? We gonna show you some blood, boy. Any kind of match you want, the stud stable is ready. Hey, Lord have mercy, what's wrong with me? We got them shaking like a leaf on a fuzzy tree. I'm gonna tell you something, boys. You think you started a fight? You just got started in the war because the stud stable came to fight, daddy. And I'm gonna guarantee you this. You boys want a real one. You want to spend some time in the hospital. You want to go over someplace? We'll order some flyers for you, son, because your tails are cooked when you mess with the Tennessee stud.
Well, fans, what an exciting moment it was, and the excitement really electrified the crowd this past week in Johnson City when these two guys were reunited. A Rock and Roll Express. Robert?
You know, Bob, this stud stable jumped me 2-on-1. What I do, I did one thing. I made a phone call, and I brought brother in, and we did one other thing, brother. We took care of business, didn't we, brother?
We're taking care of business. What's all about, Robert? Let me tell everybody one thing, especially the stud stable. That Rock and Roll is here to stay. We're not here to play. Now, you might have a lot of people buffaloed, but, brother, you don't have the Rock and Roll Express buffaloed. Yeah, that's right. We might have won the battle, but we lost the war, and we're not satisfied with that, especially with our reunion coming back. So, Stud Stable, you can come out here and tell everybody anything that you want to, but we do our talking when we step in that ring, and you're going to find that out. We know, Bob.
Yes, sir.
We know that I know that I made a lot of mistakes in my life. But without all these nice fans, there would not be no Rock and Roll Express. And I'm here, and I'm for you. Robert Gibbs is for you, and we're going to the top. Over you, Stud Stable.
Rock and Roll Express fans are here, and they're here to stay. And we're going to have our main event, our match for the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight title, when we come back right after this timeout.
God damn, that was fucking great. Both Doc, you go first. That was great on both sides.
Fuller's awesome. Fuller is way better than I ever thought he was or gave him credit for before we started doing this. First thought was, if Morton is there, why did they let Gibson even talk?
It didn't bother me any.
I'm just And then it took 28 episodes. Now we're in 29. But we finally have someone that can cut a babyface promo on a regular basis that knows how to do it. Just standing there, Gibson looks rejuvenated. He looks 2 inches taller, just like he's standing up straight because he's got his partner back by his side. And that's the loudest reaction I've heard in an arena in 29 episodes in one of their house shows.
For a babyface promo, you mean?
I think in general.
Yeah, I think in general.
I mean, we probably... we've had a few down and dirties with the heels in the ring and shit hits the fan during the promo, kind of. I'm not taking anything away from it, right? Because, like, my exact note right there is, Jesus Christ, fucking Ricky Morton is a babyface coming in full of emotion, emphatic, tells us that the Rock and Roll are here to stay. They will defeat the Stud Stable. He owns the fact that the Stud Stable laid the fucking boots to them at the end of that match. But he's also like, yeah, y'all might have won the battle, but we're going to win the war. And he's believable. Like, he's not up there.
Nice fans. The way he says Buffalo, the way he says it, he's got his rap down right on the right. Man, it's just he knows what he's doing.
He's a pro, dude. He's Ricky Morton.
You get Horner in primetime out there, and you can see that they're having to think about remembering what they're supposed to say. You can see the wheels clicking. Morton's just like, we want to do what? I got it. Okay.
Right. He's got the bullet points in his head, and he's going with
it. Yeah.
He's got the... Harper, what'd you think, man?
I tell you, yeah, like, when I first saw Robert Fuller, I was like, oh, he just looks like some old guy.
Right.
That's there to fill a spot. But, yeah, his fucking promos are fucking gold, and I love fucking watching him, man.
How many women named Barbara do you think he drug out of bars in the 70s and 80s?
What?
Some old broad named Barbara that smokes and fucks.
With the Virginia Slim hanging out of her mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
The bird.
Maybe while she's getting pounded. What's up, boy?
That's what I see.
I heard they call you the Tennessee Stud.
I like that robe you wearing.
Well, darling, let's go back to the room and you can find out.
They say you got a hog on you, boy.
Mind if I give it a ride?
Mind if I take it for a spin? In all seriousness, you're right, Doc. I mean, I knew who Robert Fuller was, obviously.
He was a buffoon as Colonel Parker. I mean, he took that character and he turned it up to 20 in WCW because that's what you have to do in corporate wrestling is be a buffoon.
Well, I mean, you say he was a buffoon, but, I mean, you're not burying him. You're just saying
the
gimmick. No,
it's what they did to him.
Right. Well, it's what they did to him. And then on top of that, also, he played the role of that gimmick that they gave him
right.
as good as you could do it. I mean, he did his job. Let me say that. But he's not what you're seeing here, the Tennessee Stud. He's not that Fuller. I mean, he was great. Golden talks about making Ricky Boy bleed again, and then Fuller lays it in like, yeah, y'all think y'all won, right? Go ask those people out there who won. And, you know, he's got a point. Yeah, they won the match, but they just beat the shit out of Rock and Roll Express. They kept their heat, right, Harper?
Yes. That's exactly what the hell happened.
It's just beautiful. I mean, it like
and because you, and they it, and because they kept their heat, we can do this again and draw some more money.
Yep. Right. Yep. We can draw some more money and see some more of this. So I thought I enjoyed it. And y'all gonna Harper? You got anything else?
No. It's just things are well, fucking Killer Kyle. He's kind of growing into a major heel, and with this fucking both, you got four. Badass tag teams that are going at it. I mean, it's just, I mean, this is some good shit to watch.
It is. It's good shit to watch. And then you said all that. You didn't even mention the current, you didn't even mention Orndorff and.
Yeah,
and,
fucking Orndorff. Yeah, right. And fucking White Boy is a new champion.
Yep. I still will never forget when I was watching Smoky Mountain Wrestling during the Christmas break when I was off from work and my kid walks in and. Here's the announcer call him the Dirty White Boy. He's like, his name is the Dirty White Boy.
Have a seat, kid.
Yeah, sit down, pal. All right, next match, Dixie Dynamite versus the Dirty White Boy. I personally think this is an underrated match. The Dirty White Boy does a great job in the beginning of selling for Dixie Dynamite. The crowd is really into it. Dirty White Boy, he really makes Dixie look good. I mean, he shines up the babyface. Yeah. Great. It's just good stuff. Dirty White Boy, you know, he's a heel champion, so certainly he makes this a very good TV match main event. He's your champion. The finish is old school, as we like with Smoky Mountain. You gotta love it. While Dixie is getting back in the ring, Killer Kyle comes out and he whacks Dixie in the knee with a sock that I would assume, or some kind of foreign object that I would assume, you know, was had something in it. This leaves Dixie with a bad leg. Dixie, in a few minutes later, goes to body slam Dirty White Boy. Dixie's leg gives out. Dirty White Boy lands on him. Dirty White Boy does something very subtle when he lands on him. He grabs a full fucking handful of tights, and he retains the belt. Harper, I'll throw it at you first to give me your thoughts on the match.
I thought it was fucking awesome, and it makes you focus on Killer Kyle. He's something big is about to happen with him, and that crowd loved Dixie Dynamite, huh?
Dude, he was. Oh, I'll go he back.
He was fucking,
to the,
fucking. They loved him.
They. I will go back to the tweet that Scott Armstrong sent out about Dixie Dynamite a few weeks, or actually about a month ago now. He was over. He nailed it, man. We've made fun of the gimmick, but Cornette knew his audience, Doc.
Yes.
He knew his audience. I mean, we're sitting here now 25 years later poking fun at it, but he knew his audience. He knew, hey, man, we got this guy. We're going to put him in a Confederate flag gimmick, and this shit's going to get over. And it did. Scott Armstrong's right. He got over. Doc, what were your thoughts on the match, though?
Heel's got to cheat. Champ is 1-0.
Champ's 1-0. Heel's got to cheat. Very subtle, though. I love the fact that they did the angle where he hits him in the knee. When Dixie does go for a slam, the finish was simple but effective.
Yes.
Dirty White Boy falls on him, gets a big old handful of tights, not just falling on him, and gets the win. 1-2-3. Your champion retains in his first match on TV. So that was great. Anything else, Doc, before I move to the next segment?
No, ma'am.
All right, we do get a primetime Brian Lee promo followed by the Rock and Roll Express. I'll play it at the end of the show this week. It's promoting an upcoming show coming up in Knoxville. I do want to play a very short commercial.
Hold on, before you do, I want to give everybody a warning here, because Harper just really nicely summed up that the Smoky Mountain territory is on fire. This shit is awesome. We're starting to really hit that groove. It's going to even get better, I'm telling you. But it's hot right now, and the shit is on fire. But if you don't like Rock and Roll Express promos, you might want to go ahead and make this your last episode, because you can expect 1 to 2 Rock and Roll Express interviews, it seems like, in every episode for the next couple of years.
Well, do you want me to play it, Doc? Do you want me to
No,
play
I'm
it
cool with not okay. I'm cool with not playing it. It's fine. It's just I'm telling you right now that if Rock and Roll Express promos are not your thing, this show might not be your thing.
Yeah. So I completely forgot about a Barry Horowitz.
Where is he?
Right. Yeah. Where's he at? That's true. Where's Horowitz? We hadn't seen him in a while now. I just thought about that. That's a good point. All right, we're going to go. I got to play this. I'm sorry. I debated whether or not I would. This isn't even a promo. It's a fucking commercial. And I just want to get Doc and Harper's thoughts after I play it.
Accommodations for the Smoky Mountain Wrestling television crew were provided by the Holiday Inn, Banner Elk, North Carolina, close to skiing, hiking, and shopping in the heart of the Smoky Mountains. Call 1-800-HOLIDAY.
Doc, you want to tell the good people what they just heard?
Well, it was a commercial for a Holiday Inn deep in the heart of the Smoky Mountains.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that the Holiday Inn that they promote here is getting some business, and there's some ring rat action going on in that Holiday Inn, man.
Well, what I wanted to know was how many half-wrestler, half-rat kids do you think were conceived in that joint?
That's nice.
Half rat, half wrestler.
How many rats you think were fucking digging into that continental breakfast the next morning?
Overcooked bacon and runny eggs.
Oh, they got biscuits down here.
Bunch of girls named Tammy and Barbara.
Barbara, look at this. Go wake up Brian. Brian Lee, come on down, Bar.
This is so much better than the Red Roof Inn. They don't give shit over there.
Y'all done? Continental breakfast, huh?
Yeah.
Nothing like some continental breakfast after a night of rat banging, right?
They got free HBO, too.
And you know those little hotels back in the day, they only had like four or five channels. It was. That's why I say that. You're on the road, and it's like they got like it's got HBO and maybe ESPN and two other channels.
When I was a kid, my dad used to drag us all over the fucking country like a National Lampoon's Vacation, and so we didn't have cable. So when I got in that fucking hotel room, HBO, I was like, holy shit. I was like, damn, they got Star Wars on. What the fuck?
You'd see it too on the sign when you pull up.
Yeah,
they had it in the letters on the board in front. HBO.
Hurry up, Daddy. Get us checked in.
Yep. Oh boy. Okay, let's get to the promo. The last promo of the show, which is Dixie Dynamite. Here it is.
And here he is, Dixie Dynamite. Dixie, I tell you again, unfair advantage taken of you up there by Killer Kyle. The dirty white boy and Ron White. I'm sure White had something to do with it.
Let me just say one thing. You know, all these good Smoky Mountain wrestling people saw Killer Kyle. They've seen him come out and file in case. They've seen him take me to the top rope. They've seen him jack my jaw with his fist tape. They've seen tape fist matches. But what you still see, Killer Kyle, is Dixie Dynamite long and lean and standing tall, but real tall.
What about boxing?
I'll tell you something else. That's right. I got him with gloves on, 10 rounds of boxing. I don't care where it goes. And let me tell you, big man, you try to take me out by hitting me in the knee. Well, I don't know what felt like a piece of iron. Let me tell you something, brother. Dixie D's still fast as can be. And if you don't believe it, ask me.
Man, you can say what you want and make fun of Dixie Dynamite. That motherfucker's over right there.
Yeah.
Hey, he's over, Doc. What you got, man?
I better stop saying what I think in case I don't want to have to fight Scott Armstrong one day.
Yeah, you ain't going to – you might not want to. You're playing heel, man. Dixie's over. Scott's right. Man, you watch these promos, he's over. He's got fire. He's got emotion. You can say it's hokey when he's, you know, Dixie D as fast as can be. You can laugh at it all you want. Did you hear those fans' reaction?
Yes.
Well, they're not the smartest people in the world. So.
I don't give a shit. He knew his audience, and it was selling, and it made money. And you can't knock it. And like Harper said, we got a situation where Killer Kyle now is you know, look like something's coming. So they're building him, and he's in this feud. He's been in a feud now actually for a few weeks with Dixie. And guess what? They don't like Killer Kyle. Therefore, they love Dixie, and Dixie's got emotion. Now, contrast Dixie Dynamite's promos with Tim Horner. Who are you going to buy?
Neither.
Bullshit. Now you're just playing heel. You're laying heel. You're just playing heel. Harper, what'd you think, man?
Bruh, they fucking love him, dude. He's like fucking Sting of fucking, fucking Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Well,
it's true.
It'd be Stang because these people can't speak right.
We love Stang.
It's true. No, I'm enjoying it, man. I gotta say, this is some good stuff. All right, let's talk about some disability checks. Doc, go first on the disability checks.
Jesus Christ, man, this one was stacked and packed and jacked. You know what I'm saying? Jip driving, socializing.
It really was. This is a packed episode.
I'm going to – this one, 8.3.
I'm not shocked, actually. I'm not. There's a lot in this episode. Ron Wright.
And let me just say this. That ain't the whole Fire on the Mountain card. We got more next week.
Yeah. That's true, because we didn't go over Ronnie Garvin. We didn't go over, and I think Harper had to step away for a second. We didn't go over Ronnie Garvin. We didn't go over Tim Horner and Buddy Landell from Fire on the Mountain, right? We never touched any of that, did
no.
we? Yeah, so, I mean, there's – I'm trying to think. What else happened at Fire on the Mountain? You had a – there actually was a match between – I don't know if they're going to show this on the, I can't remember because it's been a while since I saw it, but they have the – Killer Kyle and Dixie Dynamite fought at Fire on the Mountain too.
Yep.
Dutch
yep.
Mantel, Hector Guerrero were at Fire on the Mountain, and I believe there was a dark match Fire on the Mountain. It was Danny Davis and Joe Kazana. So there were some other things at Fire on the Mountain that took place that I'm not sure if they show in the next recap, but I do know that they have Garvin and Orndorff and Horner and Landell, I believe, on next week's episode. So yeah, it was a lot of great stuff. I would you say? You say 8.5 on yours?
Did I say 8.5 or 8.3? I can't remember. Check the tape.
8.3. I think you said 8.3. I got to go 8.5. I have to. We got the Rock and Roll Express, you know, and I can tell that's Harper coming back because he's stroking his headset.
I had to step away for a second, yeah.
He missed the paperwork. He's conducting business on Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast time, Doc.
Well, when girls come back from the street and bring you that wad of cash, you got to take care of that.
I totally agree, man. Hopefully she was just paying you and you weren't knocking it out because that was kind of quick. but anyway, yeah, we had down and I mean we had a packed episode, man. I mean it was, dude. I don't know, Doc. This was one of the best episodes yet, man. One of the best ones.
Absolutely.
Just the. You know, Ron Wright promo. The only negative on this whole episode, would you agree, was the Horner promo?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, other than that, it just was Heavenly Bodies promos. We had the recaps of Fire on the Mountain.
The only reason I'm not going all the way to 10 is I got to have somewhere to go when the Rock and Roll and the Gangstas get going in 1994.
Jesus Christ, you're not kidding about that. You're not
so if kidding. I get because I'm telling you 93 and most of 94 is better than this, and this is great.
Yes totally 100% agree. Harper, what you got on the disability checks? How many you want to give out?
I gave it an eight. And it seems like the way Dixie Dynamite is going, fuck, guys like Tim Horner, they got to step their fucking game up.
Yeah, you're no kidding. That's so true.
Yeah. Right.
I'm going to hand out some Government Cheese Awards. First, I want to say, please, if you love what we're doing and you love this show, go to mikemills.podme.com and become a patron member. It's at the very top of the page. Just click Become a Patron, and we would definitely appreciate it. Man, I want to thank Dan, Jason, another Dan, David DeVries, Tim, Wayne, Twit Dust, Matt Kovacs, Mondi, Armando, Boonhauer, Keith, Martin, all of y'all, thank you for becoming patron members. We really appreciate your support of the show. If you haven't become a patron, it's as little as one, as little as two. Hopefully you'll decide on the $2 option. But please, go to the site, mikemills.podme.com, click Become a Patron. You'll get exclusive benefits. You'll continue to get the 8 free shows. You'll also have a chance to come on the air and cut a promo on Doc Turner. But more than anything, when you become a patron, that is a way of you to support the show that, you know, hey, it's going to be free. Nobody's going to start charging you for the shows. Fuck Doc and the paywall he wants to put up. It ain't happening. I'm the gatekeeper of this bitch, and I'm keeping them free. But if you love what we're doing, become a patron and support it. That's all I ask. If you're appreciative of what we do, please do so. And, yes, there will be a patron or two episode coming, too. No promise, but that will be one of the benefits that is going to happen. Doc.
Just so you know, the minute the red light goes off, he calls y'all the job squad, all you patrons. So just know that he's got your money and he hates all of you. His disdain for you is just because he's playing babyface here.
These people interface with me on Facebook and Twitter all the time. Aww. They know that is not me. Some of them know me quite well, unlike you, who can't work a fucking Twitter account.
Dusty kayfabed his kid on a broken leg.
I don't give a shit.
Tell me
what
that
Dusty
couldn't be
fake.
You could tell me that your little interactions with them on this social media bullshit—that's a passing fad. is real, I don't buy it.
A passing fad because he doesn't know how to work Twitter, and he locked himself out of the account that he had. So now he has to troll the BTT podcast page, BTT underscore podcast page from his wife's Twitter account. Listen to Doc Turner if you want. He's got a PhD, but he can't work Twitter other than go to his wife's phone and scroll through Twitter. But he's so fucking smart.
If I wanted to figure it out, I would own Twitter inside of a week. My new name would be Doc Twitter.
My government cheese award for this episode is Doc Turner because he's a fucking idiot.
That's
I love cheese. I love cheese. I don't care where it comes from either. Government, chilies, I don't care. Just
actually,
give me some cheese.
My government cheese is not going to surprise anyone. It's going to be Ron Wright in the Dirty White Boy as they recapped Fire on the Mountain. Dirty White Boy winning the Smoky Mountain Wrestling heavyweight title. And then Ron Wright describing why he was distracting the ref because he was having a heart attack and he was just trying to get his attention. So it is Ron Wright. Yes, and the Dirty White Boy in the entire segment of Dirty White Boy winning the Smoky Mountain Wrestling heavyweight title. Doc, who's your government cheese?
Well, it's usually my standing rule that if the main heavyweight title changes hands, they should get the government cheese. But this episode was so crazy that I had to deviate from my new rule already, and I'm going to give the government cheese award to all participants of the barbed wire cage match where the tag straps change hands because those guys paid the price and got after it, and I think they will continue to get after it, and I can't wait to see it.
Harper, who'd you have?
That fucking cage.
Yeah, you had the same thing as Doc.
Because I was wondering, did they take it down? And did they, like, keep it and be like, you know, we might use this shit again? Or be like, bro, throw this shit in the fucking dumpster.
Doc, you want to let out any spoiler alerts if it gets used?
No, but along that same line, I want to ask Jim Cornette who got the desk with the logo on it.
Yeah, we've been talking about that one for a while. We want to know where that desk is. But
because here's the thing about that desk on the set. That desk either weighs 12 pounds or it weighs 350 pounds. There's no in between on that desk, the announcer desk.
I don't know. I did think about that, like, you know, how much it may have weighed. But I don't know, man, because here's the thing. They had to lug that bitch around from city to city.
That's true, huh?
Something tells me if that fucking thing weighs like 500 pounds, Cornette would have been like, oh, fuck this shit. We got to get something lighter.
Or maybe that was the rib on the crew.
That's true, too, because it is wrestling. That's true, too.
Let's buy the heaviest piece of shit desk we can find and make these bastards lug it around the fucking
territory.
Little hills of the Smoky Mountains.
Can you imagine? I want to know the story behind that cage, though. I do want to know the story behind that and putting that thing up and pulling it down.
Harper, I believe it's safe to say you will be seeing the coop once again.
Oh, God.
I told you a couple weeks ago it looked like a big coop. It looks like I'm trying to grow some, either keep some chickens together or grow some tomatoes, and I don't want birds to get.
I wonder, though, if Cornette hasn't talked about this on the Jim Cornette Experience, I would love for anyone out there who does know any information about this cage before we get to talk to Cornette. What was the history behind why that was the type of cage that was ended up using? Was it because the feud? Because, you know, we always talk about how these feuds happen organically. Well, they kept going with this feud, and they kept going with it, and they were like, hey, man, you know, unlike the WWE where they booked to the pay-per-view, these guys booked it to what was going on with the feud, and were like, you know what would be good? We got this thing heated up, man. Let's create a barbed wire cage. Like, and it just happened organically. It wasn't like a plan 6 months ago. It just kind of, you know, came to be. And they were like, well, we need a cage. Let's be original and do something different. Let's not do the chain link fence. Let's not, you know, obviously not do the stupid fucking blue cage. God damn. So, I don't know. I'd be curious to ask him that, man. Because it is. I can't imagine taking that thing apart.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Cause
it's not panels.
Brittle. You're right. It's just a piece of... It's just little shitty-ass fucking wood with a barbed wire. So that's what I'm saying. Do you like just take it apart and be like, man, fuck it, bro. Throw this bitch in the dumpster, man.
We'll build another one.
Yeah, for real.
I don't know, man.
I told you it looked like they got to the building and nobody brought the cage, so they built one instead that afternoon. And you shit on me, Menace, for that. And I don't think
that's what happened. That's not.
No, I said it looked like that's what happened.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
Who brought the cage? Shit, I thought you brought the cage. Fuck. Corny's not going to be happy about this. What are
Let's
we going
to
do?
Home Depot.
There was no Home Depot in these bullshit towns. They had to go down and ask somebody at the feed store where the nearest lumber yard was, pay markup prices so that the lumber yard and the feed store are the only two families that aren't below the poverty line in these jerkwater bullshit towns.
That's nice.
Jesus Christ, dude. God damn, won't you leave the people alone? Anyway.
They're just so easy to pick on.
Fucking Tar Heels.
Oh, geez. Not that again. Well, that was an action-packed episode of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. We got a couple of promos coming up at the end of this week's episode that we'll play for you. But other than that, man, I really enjoyed this. We are over 6 months into this thing. Shit is just hitting the fan. We got so many angles going, as we've already talked about. And it's just fun to do. It's fun to watch this weekly. It's fun to do these shows weekly. So, Doc, you got anything else before we get out of here? And don't shit on the people anymore, man. We got really good patron members, and I want to thank them for their patron for being Booking the Territory patrons.
I think I'm done for the day. That's enough free content.
Okay, whatever you say. Harper, what you got?
Nothing. Let's just book it, bitch.
Well, before we book it, bitch, follow us on Twitter at
No, he said it. He said it.
I said it. No, stop talking.
It's over. That's what that means.
I'm at Mike 504 Saints. Hardbody Harper's at CJH. Who that? He posts plenty of naked bitches all day long, as he likes to say. Yeah. Him and Mullet of Morton, they're in this coup together. I heard you were in Mullet of Morton's van last week, man.
Y'all
were banging some broads.
Wow.
What?
No.
Okay. Mullet of Morton's got a thing for Nia Jax.
Oh, yeah.
He's always talking about he's got her in the van, and at the Eye of Gibson is always like saying, dude, shut up.
With her fine, thick ass.
Harper, would you hit it?
Oh, yeah, no doubt, bro.
Would you claim it?
Yeah.
See, there you go. Him and Mullet of Morton. But anyway. Oh, check out my buddy Joe Stacy on Facebook. He's got a page, Old School Pro Wrestling Lives, man. He's been letting us plug the shows on there, the Smoky Mountain shows. So check out that page. He posts all kind of old. It's like got over 2,500 members, but they post all kind of old photographs, you know, Bruiser Brody, just old stuff from the territory days, good stuff. So check that site out on Facebook. Now, with all that said, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Click the shop now button. Go get a pro wrestling t-shirt, one of ours. That's all I got. Harper, hit the tagline again and get us out of here to the promos from this week that we haven't already covered.
Book it, bitch.
Hi, wrestling fans. Welcome to another exciting, action-packed hour of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Professional wrestling the way it used to be and the way you like it. I'm Bob Caudill, and we got a great hour in store for all of you fans this week. Today, we're going to be recapping all of the exciting action of last week's Fire on the Mountain Spectacular, and we'll be talking to some of the winners and some of the losers. My tag partner right here, Dutch Mantel. Dutch?
Well, first of all, I got good news, and I have bad news. Let's get the good news first.
All right.
Brian Lee, primetime Brian Lee, is no longer the Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion. He was defeated by the Dirty White Boy at Fire of the Mountain in Johnson City on August the 8th. That is the good news.
That's the good news. What's the bad news, Dutch?
The bad news is the Fantastics and the Heavenly Bodies went at it at Fire on the Mountain, and unfortunately, they are no tag team champions.
Well, yeah, we do. We've got tag team champions.
You can't call the Fantastics champions. No way, no shape, form, or fashion.
They are. They're the Smoky Mountain tag team champions, Dutch.
Well, first of all, let me say one more thing. On Down and Dirty with Dutch today, I got a very special guest, a big surprise in a main event today. Bits the Dirty White Boy in his first Smoky Mountain wrestling defense against Dixie Dynamite right here today.
All right, fans, and we'll be ready. We'll have action for you right after we take this time out.
Fantastics are not champions.
Fans, this reminder, Smoky Mountain Wrestling at a new time every Sunday, 11 a.m. right here on 43. That's 43, 11 a.m. on Sundays, Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Now, wrestling will return to the Knoxville Civic Coliseum on Friday night, August 21st at 8 p.m. There'll be a boxing match on that card. Dixie Dynamite puts the gloves on against Killer Kyle with Jim Cornette. In an I Quit match, it'll be Tim Horner against Buddy Landell. In a pile driver match, Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, will take on the man with the hands of stone, Ronnie Garvin. A Texas death match, for the title, Brian Lee against the Dirty White Boy. Here's the Dirty White Boy and Mr. Ron Wright. Ron?
Let me tell you something. They pulled one over on me again when I signed the contract for that Texas Tornado death match. I didn't know they was forcing us to put the belt on the line in the mat. But let me tell you something. Just go ahead and have all of the ambulance services to get your ambulances down there, because, brother, Texas Tornado death match, that's my old-time experience, and I've relayed all of my wisdom to my man here. And when we get done down there, let me tell you something. Dirty White Boy is going to beat on that prime time so bad, it may take 4 or 5 ambulances and stretchers to carry him out of there, because his body may be in 4 or 5 different pieces.
And you're enjoying it.
Of course I'm enjoying it. Well, hey, what's left to say, baby? We'll talk to you later.
All right, fans. On, also on that card, a reunion with a Rock and Roll Express. Ricky Morton, Robert Gibson against Robert Fuller, Jimmy Golden, the Stud Stable.
I heard something about a reunion. If there's going to be any reunion in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's going to be for me and Jimmy Golden. Let me give you just a little bit of history here. Let's go back to Andrew Jackson out there. He's the president of the United States. Let's go back to Davy Crockett. Let's go to Alvin C. York, greatest fighting man of all time. And let's go to Elvis Presley, my friend and confidant. I'm going to tell you something. Comes to rock and rolling in Knoxville, there's 2 men that know how to do it. And I'm going to guarantee you something, boys. It ain't going to be pretty.
Fans, this reminder, Smoky Mountain Wrestling at a new time right here on Catch Fox 43. It's every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. right here. Also, a great card of wrestling in Knoxville at the Knoxville Civic Coliseum on Friday, August 21st at 8 p.m. There'll be a boxing match on the card. Dixie Dynamite against Killer Kyle. In Kyle's corner, Jim Cornette. In an I Quit match, Tim Horner against Buddy Landell. It'll be a pile driver match with Paul Orndorff, Mr. Wonderful against Ronnie Garvin. Texas death match for the title. The title at stake in this one. Primetime, Brian Lee against the Dirty White Boy. Brian?
You know, Texas death match, you know, I can't wait till Knoxville, Tennessee. Dirty White Boy, it took 2 of you at Fire on the Mountain to take the gold away from me. I'm going to be so wound up when I get Knoxville this time, it's going to take 4 or 5. And I guarantee you one thing, you're going to need it, because I'm getting the belt back.
Fans, it's going to be a great card, as we said. The reunion of the Rock and Roll with the Rock and Roll Express against Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden.
You know, Bob, I heard that Tennessee Stud out here talking about it's going to be their reunion. Let me tell you something, guys. It's going to be our first time in Knoxville together. The reunion is going to be when fans start hollering, rock and roll, guys. You're going to find out how come we were 4-time world tag team champion.
You know, okay, I like that, Bob Connell. I like it a lot. You come out here running that mouth, because you want to impress me, brother? You want to impress me? Eat an apple, spit out a fruit salad. Because, you know, we did a lot of things in our life, and the ones we liked, we tried twice. So in Knoxville, Tennessee, that's right, it's going to be a reunion of me and Robert. We're going to show you, brother, what we can do. We don't care what it takes. You know how I do things, Bob Cattle. I do it my way, and Robert Gibson does it his way. So, Fullers, come on down. You might be the Stud Stable, but one thing we know how to do to a stud, and that's a gildem, baby. So come on down to Knoxville. Rock and Roll Express are coming back home. This is our town, baby, Tennessee. So we'll show you what it's all about.
Fans, it's an outstanding card. Smoky Mountain Wrestling, don't forget it. It's Friday night, August 21st, 8 p.m. at the Knoxville Civic Coliseum. Great matches on the card, fans. Be sure to be there. Bell time, 8 p.m. in Knoxville. All right, fans, next week right here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling, Ronnie Garvin and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. And until then, so long for now.